Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really tearing into Java microservices architecture. It seems like it's pretty much the new standard for building, serious, resilient software.
Absolutely. It's the foundation now, especially for larger systems.
Right. So if you're dealing with scale or complexity, or you just need apps that don't, well, fall over under pressure, moving away from those old monolithic systems isn't just an option anymore, is it?
No, it's becoming essential. Our sources are saying nearly 85% of the big players think companies with over 5,000 employees are using microservices.
Wow, 85%, that's huge.
It is. And what's really interesting, maybe even surprising to some, is that Java is the language developers are overwhelmingly picking for this.
Okay, so that's our mission then. Let's unpack what went wrong with the old way, really define what microservices are, and figure out why Java, the sort of classic enterprise language, is dominating this pretty cutting-edge field.
Sounds good. Where should we start? The old monoliths.
Yeah, let's start there. So microservices, it's basically an architectural style, right? You break down the application into smaller, independent services.
Exactly. Small services talking via APIs, each often handled by a smaller, focused team.
Which is completely different from the monolith, that single, massive, tightly woven piece of code where everything depends on everything else.
And the problems with those monoliths just became, well, too painful. Updating them was a nightmare.
How so?
Well, think about it. You make one tiny change, maybe fix a small bug, and you risk breaking the entire system. You'd have to rebuild and redeploy the whole thing.
Right. Huge risk. And downtime.
Oh, definitely. Unplanned downtime was a major issue. A single problem in one part, say, the checkout process, could bring the entire application crashing down.
Yeah, I can see how that's not sustainable. And scalability must have been a killer, too.
Absolutely crippled them sometimes. The whole application had to scale up together, even if only one tiny part, like login, was getting hammered. Super inefficient.
So microservices fix this mainly through decoupling. Is that the key idea?
That's the core concept, decoupling. Services run independently. And a really important practice that enables this is the database per service pattern.
Meaning each service manages its own database.
Exactly. Its own data, its own schema. It maximizes that independence and flexibility.
Okay, so that freedom, that independence, maybe that's why Java is winning out. You mentioned the numbers earlier.
Yeah, the data is pretty compelling. One survey showed 34% of developers prefer Java for microservices.
Mm-hmm.
That's way ahead of Python at 14% or Go at 12%.
That is significant, especially with Python being so popular generally. Is it just because Java's been around forever, like a legacy thing, or are there solid technical reasons?
Oh, it's definitely technical. For starters, platform independence. Java's whole write once, run anywhere philosophy is huge for microservices.
Because they might run on different operating systems or cloud platforms.
Precisely. No code changes needed. Then there's performance. Microservices often handle high loads, lots of concurrent requests.
And Java's good at that.
Very good. Its memory management is robust, and its multi-threading capabilities are really efficient, which is critical for these distributed systems.
No sense. And the third thing.
You just can't ignore the ecosystem. It's massive. Java has so many mature, specialized frameworks built specifically for simplifying microservice development.
Like Spring Boot. That one comes up a lot.
Exactly. Spring Boot is probably the most widely used, plus others like Micronaut, Quarkus. They take away a lot of the boilerplate and complexity.
Okay, so technical advantages, great ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
That must translate into business benefits.
It does, directly. You get much better scalability. You can scale individual services up or down as needed. You get real resilience.
Meaning if one service fails, the others keep running.
Right. Fault isolation. It prevents those system-wide failures we saw with monoliths. And finally, agility. You can develop, test, and deploy new features much, much faster. Quicker time to market.
You mentioned frameworks. Let's touch on those again. Spring Boot, you said, is the most popular. Why is that?
Yeah, it's huge. It simplifies things immensely with features like auto-configuration, makes getting enterprise-ready applications up and running much faster, less boilerplate code.
And the other one mentioned was Quarkus. How's that different?
Quarkus is interesting. It's designed specifically with Kubernetes in mind. It's optimized for really fast startup times and a very small memory footprint.
So ideal for cloud environments where you might be spinning up lots of containers.
Exactly. Perfect for dense deployments in the cloud or serverless functions.
Okay, this all sounds great, but it can't be that easy. There must be challenges, right?
Oh, absolutely. The transition isn't trivial. One big issue is talent scarcity. Finding people with deep expertise in things like Kubernetes, container orchestration, and distributed systems design, it's tough, high demand.
That makes sense. And the system itself must get more complex.
Definitely. You're trading simpler code within a service for much higher system complexity overall. You now have a distributed system.
Which means managing, communication between services, data consistency.
All of that. Managing network latency between services, ensuring data stays consistent across potentially dozens of separate databases, handling distributed transactions. It's a whole different set of problems to solve.
So, pulling this together for someone listening, microservices offer huge advantages in efficiency, scalability, resilience, but you have to do it right.
You absolutely have to follow best practices. Things like automating your build and deployment pipeline, CI/CD, is crucial. And security becomes more complex too.
Right. You need robust security across all those distributed parts, like using modern standards, OAuth 2 maybe, or multi-factor authentication.
Exactly. Security has to be baked in from the start across the entire architecture.
Okay. So, final thoughts. It sounds like a big investment moving to microservices.
It is definitely resource intensive up front, but the payoff, especially with Java's, mature and still evolving ecosystem, is building applications that are genuinely ready for the future, more adaptable, more resilient than those old monoliths ever could be.
So, the question for you listening is maybe, where could this resilience make the biggest difference in your world right now?
Yeah, think about it. Is it your CRM, your core finance system? Where would isolating failures and scaling specific parts give you the most immediate benefit? And that might be the perfect place to start your microservices journey.